From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. And on this day, why Maine's independent voters aren't really that independent, and a voting drive for Maine immigrants. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light. Tickets available at MaineGardens.org.
It's widely known that the largest group of registered voters in Maine is not enrolled in a political party. They prefer to call themselves independents, but studies show that relatively few are truly free of any partisan leanings. Mal Leary has our story.
Following the election of independent Governor James Longley in the 1970s, the number of registered voters who were not members of a political party continued to grow. The trend was bolstered by Angus King's election as governor in the 1990s and as independent senator in 2012. Political observers say that many Mainers like the idea that they are independent and vote as they see fit.
Maine's politics are fairly intimate.
Ron Schmidt is a political science professor at the University of Southern Maine.
People still go door to door to ask for votes. I think Maine voters feel a little more sense of control over the outcome of their votes than voters in, say, California, where I grew up.
And many also share another trait, says Jim Melcher of the University of Maine at Farmington.
What a lot of independents share is a distaste for parties, that they see parties as setting up competition, that's too much bickering, that they're not problem-solving enough.
But despite these tendencies, Melcher says most independent voters do, in fact, lean either towards the Republican or Democratic Party and vote accordingly in general elections. University of Maine political scientist Mark Brewer says this growing perception that voters who shun political parties are also free-thinking and highly objective has been shown in studies to be inaccurate.
We have this image of the highly informed, highly educated, independent voter who, you know, tracks things carefully and makes up their own mind based on being well-informed. That's a myth.
Brewer says there are some true independent voters who do not lean to either major party, but he says they are small in number. A study by the Pew Research Center of the 2016 Maine electorate placed that number at 13%, just over a third of the total number of independent voters, who make up about 35% of all registered voters in Maine. Brian Duff, a political scientist at the University of New England, says research shows that independents provide consistent support to the parties on election day.
I see no evidence that fewer people are leaning towards one party or another. And independent leaners basically act like the members of their party. They vote almost as consistently.
All of the political scientists interviewed for this story point out, however, that independents do not turn out to vote in the same percentages as party members, and that it is the partisan voters that drive Maine's turnout to one of the highest in the nation. In 2014, a year with a hotly contested governor's race, independents made up 37% of registered voters, but only 20% of those who actually went to the polls. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
All this week, we're talking with candidates running for governor and Congress. Democrat Janet Mills is one of four candidates vying to become the next governor of Maine. During an appearance today on Maine Calling, host Jennifer Rooks asked Mills what she believes should be done about the partisan divide in our state.
Oh, a lot needs to be done about that. First of all, if I'm privileged to become the next governor of Maine, you will not find me governing by veto. I will govern in a transparent manner. I will hopefully attract the best and the brightest to Maine state government. They will be able to share their ideas, their information, their data. We will look to the future. I will work across the aisles to work with members of all three parties in the legislature to get the best public policy done for Maine people. I have a record of doing that. I served on the Appropriations Committee for 4 years where we did 7 budgets. We had to do that by working across the aisle. And those were some of the toughest years in Maine's economy. You know, the recession of 2008, it wasn't easy to do any budget. But we worked very hard day and night across the aisle to get things done.
I won't ask you if you support the plan to expand Medicaid, because I think anybody who's followed Maine news in the last couple of years knows that you support the expansion of Medicaid. As governor, though, I'll ask you this. How would you implement that expansion, and how would the state pay for it?
I am the only candidate in the race who's actually secured funding for to start up the Medicaid expansion program. I found $35 million I brokered from the two largest tobacco companies in the world, Philip Morris and R.J. Reynolds. And that money has gone directly into the Fund for Healthy Maine, which is available to the Medicaid program. I think the first thing we got to do is audit the Medicaid program, find out where the money is gone. There seems to be a surplus there. And what the Appropriations Committee learned was there's plenty of money there right now to start up the program and get it going for the next, for the foreseeable future, for the rest of this budget biennial. Then we've also got to look at implementing cost controls, of course, as we go along. See what the claims data shows. See how many people are going to enroll and what kinds of issues they have. And make sure we focus on preventative care and cost controls and managed care for high-cost treatments.
Janet Mills, if governor, what would you do to address Maine's workforce shortage?
I've got an economic action plan that I put out several weeks ago. You can see it on my website. And it includes incentives for people to come back to work, come back to Maine to work here. A welcome home program, for instance, for Maine young people to return to Maine, to open up a business here. It includes a rural workplace grant to help communities build infrastructure, including broadband, and paired with co-working spaces for small businesses in the rural areas. And expanding small businesses in the rural areas, too. So we've got a lot of incentives. I support Maddie Daughtry's tax credit program for people graduating from post-secondary schools to come back here and get tax credits for paying off their school loans, paying down their school loans. Those kinds of measures can help encourage young people to move back to Maine or to stay here in the first place when they graduate from post-secondary education and contribute their productivity to our workforce.
What would you do to address Maine's opioid crisis?
Well, boy, oh boy, this is something I've been working on for the better part of 6 years now. In the Office of the Attorney General, we deal with this crisis every day. I developed a plan that's on my website. It's been out there for almost a year, a 10-point plan for addressing the opioid crisis. That includes allowing naloxone to be distributed, widely distributed, to save lives. I've done this myself. I've given out naloxone to Narcan to 85 different police departments. And with that Narcan alone, we've saved 450 lives. Now we've got to find ways to turn those lives around. I like what the legislature did this spring and summer, enacting $6.5 million of funds for treatment facilities and for medication-assisted treatment over the governor's veto. We also got to get into the schools early and involve ourselves in more prevention and education programs.
That's Democrat Janet Mills. She's one of 4 candidates for governor. She was a guest today on Maine Calling. Tomorrow on the program, a panel of guests talks about question 1 on the November ballot, which would create a universal home care program for seniors and people with disabilities. You can find all our election-related stories, interviews, and other resources at mainepublic.org/yourvote. The bipartisan research organization New American Economy reports that around 2/3 of immigrants in Maine who are naturalized citizens and eligible to vote are actually registered to do so. That report helped spur some immigrant advocacy groups to launch a 6-day Get Out the Vote effort aimed at engaging this population. Willis Ryder Arnold has more.
Roberto Rodriguez recalls what it was like to vote for the first time after coming to the United States.
It was exciting, and I remember calling all my friends. I remember being in line and calling friends in line. It's like, hey, you're not here. Where you at? You know? And but yeah, I remember being excited just about that.
Rodriguez is from Puerto Rico, where residents aren't allowed to vote in the U.S. federal elections. Now he lives in Portland and serves as a school board member. He says there are still a lot of reasons that immigrants don't turn out to vote. Some, he says, feel excluded by the rhetoric and personal attacks coming from politicians.
It's very distracting for the average voter. It, I think, creates a culture of mistrust, and that's really what I believe keeps people from voting. People don't want to be part of a system that they don't feel it's genuine, that they don't feel is sincere.
Rodriguez is part of a coalition launching the six-day voter drive to register immigrant voters and help them engage in the political process. The Your Vote Matters campaign is an immigrant-led initiative organized by the Greater Portland Immigrant Welcome Center. The group will knock on doors and set up tables in several immigrant communities from Kennedy Park in Portland to Steeple Square in Westbrook from 2:30 to 6:30 every day through Monday. Dama Rugaba co-founded the Immigrant Welcome Center and is overseeing the campaign. He says the goal is to register as many immigrant voters as possible by the 16th. That effort, he says, will have to acknowledge some of the barriers that can dissuade immigrants from voting. They could be from countries where voting was coerced by ruling governments, or they could be unfamiliar with the voting process. He also agrees that some voters are put off by combative political rhetoric, especially language targeting immigrants.
Nobody came to this country to take advantage of anything. We came here because we wanted to rebuild our lives. We wanted to have a fresh start.
Mufalo Cheatham, the executive director of Maine Immigrant Rights Coalition, says it's important that immigrants be involved in the process.
Our voices need to be heard. So if we don't vote, we'll continuously have policies that undermine, you know, our well-being in the United States.
Cheatham says she voted for the first time after being naturalized in 2003. She's originally from Zambia. She said voting reminds her of why she came to the United States in the first place. For her, holding that ballot, knowing that she could vote, said something about her place in her adopted home.
You know, I felt seen. So I think holding that paper, you know, made me feel seen because I was a citizen and had the right to vote.
Rugaba, who's organizing the voter registration drive, says he hopes to translate that feeling into direct political action.
If you all show up to vote, we can put whoever we want in the Blaine House or state representative.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.